Now we return to our panel discussion, stroke debates, ahead of election, local elections 2019, which people go to the polls on the 24th of May. And in the Lifford-Stranooler Municipal District, there are 11 candidates, 6 seats are available. So 5 people will miss out. Now, we had 5 people invited in to join us this morning. Garvin Connolly of Fine Gael offered, but he declined for his own reasons. I'm not privy to those. But we are delighted to welcome into studio Councillor Gary Doherty of Sinn Féin, John Hartnett of Aonthu, Councillor Patrick McGowan of Fianna Fáil, and Councillor Liam Doherty of Sinn Féin. Gentlemen, thank you all very much for calling in. Right, we might, as we have done so, give you guys a minute or so to use with how you wish, but perhaps to encourage people to vote in your direction. We'll start with you, if that's okay, Councillor Gary Doherty. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. First of all, thanks for giving us the opportunity to come on the airwaves and explain our position to the voters. And good morning to all your listeners as well. I've been a county councillor for the last 5 years. Obviously, I was co-opted in November 2013. And since that time, it's been a privilege for me to serve the people of the Stranooler Municipal District, which is now becoming the Lifford Stranooler Municipal District. I'm asking people to put their trust in me again next Friday to work on behalf of them and on behalf of our communities for the next 5 years. During the term of this existing council, I've led out and been at the forefront of a number of campaigns, including the anti-water charges movement, fighting for flood mitigation for our communities devastated by flooding, and health campaigns, including saving the community hospitals and mental health services, and also promoting the tourism potential of the East Donegal area. The only election promise that I'll make, Greg, is that if elected next weekend, I'll give 100% commitment to working for the betterment of the communities that I represent. And I'm respectfully asking everyone in the Lifford Stranooler Municipal District to please consider giving me your number one preference next week.
Thank you, Gary. John Hartnett of Aonthu, why should people use their very important votes in your direction?
Well, having just listened to Gary, I would be saying that man is certainly sounds like he's worth a vote or two. So my reason for standing is fairly simple. I feel that the main parties, the from what I'd call from the good men here in Sinn Féin to Fianna Fáil to Fine Gael, and even Labour, have so sold out on the promises that they've made to the Irish people that I feel a little bit like a caretaker in a school where the kids have come into school and a lot of them are being told, you're not wanted. You don't actually belong here. And because you don't belong and because you're not wanted, then we're actually letting you go. The only thing is that instead of anything being as kind of clear cut as that, what's happening is it's a case of you're actually being terminated. You're not going to actually have a place here. And my big concern, although it may sound English, because I grew up in Croydon in South London, and my dad emigrated in the 50s when there was no work, he became a bus conductor. So I've come back to Ireland, to a country that I love, and I've worked here for the last 30 years. I did 10 years teaching in London, mm-hmm. and then 30 here. Okay. So as regards, let's say, being here, I would love to be able to say to people, vote for those main parties, I once did, but I feel we've been completely betrayed by them as regards the whole pro-life.
Okay,
issue.
We'll tease that out with you then. Okay. So as we go on and maybe get to the bottom of that metaphor, yeah. Councillor Liam Doherty of Sinn Féin, why should people vote for you?
Well, I've been there as well. I've been voted on 5 years ago. I've been there in the council. I have attended, as well I can make out, every main meeting in Lifford and aired my views there. And as a party of Sinn Féin of 9 councillors there, we have worked very well together down there. And I would like to continue that, and hopefully we'll increase our numbers down there. I was involved over the last 5 years in a lot of different issues and goings-ons, the likes of I've lobbied a lot for the wastewater treatment plants, the upgrading of them, which was successful and was done. I've helped and supported a lot of local community groups in my area, which I would more want to continue to support them. I've helped local community groups with cleanups and stuff, and as people would know me, I'm a hands-on counsellor. I'm not just there for the photographs. I'm there to help out and get my hands dirty on a lot of occasions there. I've been involved with the St Joseph Lifford and Remelton campaigns to keep them up and going. So I like to continue on my work on the local communities and on a wider scale and Lifford as well.
Liam, thank you very much. Last but not least, of course, Councillor Patrick McGowan of Fianna Fáil. Why should people exercise the democratic right in your direction?
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to your listeners. I have served 20 years now in Donegal County Council, and I must say I've enjoyed every minute of it. It's something that's something that I'm very passionate about. I love working in the community, love working with people, love meeting people, and I love canvassing. A lot of people don't like canvassing, but I do. I think that's what it's all about. I know social media and that's taken over, but it's going out talking to the people in the areas and listening to them and genuinely trying to do, you know, trying to help them. You know, people sometimes think, well, why do you need politicians? You know, if you're entitled to someone, you should get it. And they're perfectly right. But sometimes, no matter what system anyone brings in or what government or whether you're independent, that things don't always work out. You know, and we have a very needy population out there. And I think you need to be available. You need to be on the doorsteps. You need to talk to people. More importantly, you need to listen. And I believe Fianna Fáil is the party for doing that. Fianna Fáil are driven by political ideology to one extreme or to another. Fianna Fáil are the people. It's like the Notice Highland Radio's out here. It doesn't speak for Donegal, it speaks Donegal. Fianna Fáil speaks Ireland. We're not neither left nor right. And that's something I will always remain Fianna Fáil, providing they always be true to the people.
Councillor Gary Doherty, Fianna Fáil, the party of the people. What are you doing wrong if they have that moniker?
Well, I wouldn't.
Would you agree?
That Fianna Fáil are the party of the people?
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm not on here to attack the good people of Fianna Fáil, because there are many, many good people in Fianna Fáil and Donegal. And I know many of them, and many of them are my own family members that Patrick would well know as well. So I'm certainly not going to come on here and attack the good people of Fianna Fáil. The policies of Fianna Fáil, I would certainly have a problem with, because it's not very long ago that this country was on its knees. And there are many issues that we're still coming to terms with as a result of the last period that Fianna Fáil spent in government. Mm. So I would certainly have a problem with that. But you know,
You think it's acceptable, and I'm not having a go at anyone either, but you think it's acceptable that if you and they are good people, of members of Fianna Fáil, but if you were of the shared your opinion that, you know, Fianna Fáil maybe got the country into a bit of trouble, maybe their policies aren't fantastic, that you just remain a member of that party? Is that kind of how we sort of are where we are right now, that people just accept?
Not at all. Look, each individual member of Fianna Fáil, it's up to them to decide what they do. And I'm not, as I say, everybody makes up their own mind as regards their own politics, and everybody's perfectly entitled to their own politics. And that's the beauty of elections and local democracy, and indeed national democracy as well.
Okay.
It's up to the people of this county and the people of the Liffordstown Ordinary Municipal District next week to decide for themselves whether they want to vote for progressive politics or whether they want to revert to the politics of the past. And I would certainly contend that the old Civil War politics needs to change, but it's not an attack on individual Fianna Fáil members, or indeed Patrick or Councillor Crawford,
you know,
that we've had for the last 5 years.
You know where your number twos are coming from anyway. John Hartnett, would you be as diplomatic? I mean, do you believe that the main parties, you said in your preamble, the Sinn Féin, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Labour, do you genuinely believe they, is it going too far to say you believe they've failed the people? Do you believe those councillors have failed the people of Donegal?
I would say on an individual level, like these three good men here, I would say they're not failing the people on an individual level. But the vision of those parties is such that there is no longer a situation in Ireland which it was and it was wonderful, where everybody's rights were seen as equally important. Now, if I am what I'll simply term as if I'm unborn, I actually don't have any rights. And the way things stand at the moment, there's going to be a lot of children that won't get born.
But with respect to you, John, we can come back to me again. But just on this, sure. In respect to that, though, and you used your preamble also sort of to highlight this. Yeah. At the end of the day, these are things that aren't in any way really in the gift of the council. And secondly, albeit Donegal voted at odds to the rest of the country, that vote was held. And if you believe in democracy, then surely you believe in the outcome of that vote. Is that really, should that really be one of the main pillars of your local election campaign?
Yes, I think the two are inseparable, because if you have a situation where a local councillor is saying, well, personally, this is the way I would vote, but of course, my party policy is such and such, then further down the road, you're actually completely compromised. So I don't think you can separate them. You were saying, as regards analogies, if I think of myself as, let's say, the school caretaker, I am more than happy with the job to look after the place, to make sure everything's okay for people. And then the people are being looked after. But if the school is being run very, very badly, or if the children in the school are being killed, then we could have a wonderful school, looks great, except children are disappearing.
Okay. Councillor Liam Doherty, and we're going to talk on more general stuff as well, but just on that issue, because it is important. And throughout these debates, throughout the years, people's stance on abortion has always been an issue. You can declare it's yours or not. It's completely up to you. But is that something that has been coming up for you on the doors?
Not really. A few, probably out of the last 3 weeks of canvassing, you're probably talking, it has come up doors possibly about three times. So it hasn't been raised as a major issue. Like at the end of the day, we're out there canvassing local issues people didn't want to talk about and that. But as personally, I'm not for abortion. I wouldn't want a clinic open down the street there where it's a free for all where ones can go and have abortions. Totally, I would be totally against that.
Mm. Were you comfortable with your party's stance on that issue?
Not really. I think it could have been handled a bit better. Mm. I think it should have been handled a wee bit better. The party, we should have been possibly left to our own decisions on it, which a lot of us, as far as canvassing and going out there, there was no pressure put on us to do that. It was up to ourselves, but. Mm. As far as voting in the island, I think it should have been more of a personal thing.
Councillor Patrick McGowan, some people feel that, you know, maybe that was, you know, if Fianna Fáil to lose popularity, the stance on that issue, particularly as for many, they may have been seen sort of as a rural Ireland party, and that sort of thing that you could write at the top of the poster perhaps is drifting away, and maybe the party stance on that vote and other matters. Is it damaging to you as a Fianna Fáil councillor and other Fianna Fáil councillors in rural Ireland?
Are we talking rural Ireland or abortion?
Well, both, because the vote, if you look at the vote in rural Ireland versus urban Ireland, it's very, very different outcomes. But were you comfortable with your party stance on the abortion referendum? I'll ask questions more directly then, so.
Yeah, well, look, first of all, Fianna Fáil, that as Liam said, Fianna Fáil did give a free vote. There was a motion that Fianna Fáil had raised the year before where the vote was actually to oppose the abortion. But what happened then, Fianna Fáil agreed then, and we actually lobbied here very seriously here in Donegal. There was a meeting in Donegal here some time before the abortion referendum. We lobbied the government and we demanded for the councillors here in Donegal that there would be a free vote, that Fianna Fáil wouldn't be putting a whip or anything on, not that we would be accepting a whip in a matter of conscience anyway. So I'm very comfortable with the position Fianna Fáil took. I think it was very important. We hear people saying, you know, the church should stay out of politics, but you know, there's a thing about politics staying out of the church, because at the moment the church is getting hammered right, left and centre. It's almost becoming a crime now to be a Christian or to have for beliefs. I believe in a matter of conscience and a matter of stuff like this. It is very important that, you know, if the Dáil decided And, you know, Fianna Fáil have had a big part in putting this constitution together, and it's not there forever. You put it to the people. That was brought in, so we put it to the people. But, you know, if the Dáil is going to sit and legislate, it's a bit like us in the council. You know, you can't be making the decision and then putting it out to the public. So just put it out to the public, and the public voted.
Okay.
Personally, I voted against it, but I have very, very many friends, families, children that disagreed with me.
So
that is a position.
Before we move on then, what would you be doing, John, as a councillor, elected as a councillor, on that issue? Or are you just using this as a platform to sort of speak on behalf of the people you represent? In other words, are you a single issue candidate, or have you other things or specific things going into the council that you believe that need to be addressed?
On the other things, I was listening very great interest last week. I'd agree with the folks then, and the same with the lads here today. For example, the hospital and the hospitals in Remelton and in Lifford, and there's a huge amount of support needed by the community to ensure that the promises made are being kept. But as I say, as a new lad on the block, the research that I've made, basically what I've been told is it's been put on the long finger, and the hospital is being allowed to run down, and people, once they retire and they finish, there's no appointment being made. In other words, the promises made are not being kept in terms of let's say looking after the people. And then as regards Donegal and the fisheries.
Well, let's stay with the hospital. Yeah. I'm sorry, this seems like it's you, the person, but it's just you go from one issue to another, and I don't want to have to keep coming back.
Sure.
Liam Doherty, the hospital issue, it was massive ahead of the last general election. Of course, not surprisingly, because maybe there's more influence on a national level, but on a local level, is this a lightning rod for people's attentions as well? Because it's right across Remelton, Lifford, and of course Dronawler. Have the council done enough to support the likes of the hospital groups in getting funding and a future for these facilities?
No, I don't think they have. I think especially Lifford, where they're actually the group that's there is looking possibly for a greenfield site there. I think that's something that the council should step in and step up to the mark and possibly, with the council having lands around the Lifford area, I would feel that they should step up to the mark there and possibly supply them with a greenfield site. St Joseph's, it's an ongoing battle there. They haven't given up on it. They have, Father John Joe and them has really, they have a great group there and fighting hard for it, and for Remelton as well. The council, I suppose there is only so much they can do, but it's really left up to the TDs should be pulling their weight more.
Is there enough of a connect, Councillor Gary Doherty, between the council and local reps? I mean, why do local reps, for example, not meet with councillors on a bi-monthly basis or something? Do you know what I mean? So that people feel that they can vote and pass stuff on to you, and then, you know, that this information then is passed on to elected reps to the Dáil or Shannon. Do you think that would be a worthwhile endeavour?
How do you mean local reps?
Well, you know, so you guys are elected into the council, okay? Should the likes of Joe McHugh, Charlie McConnell Logue, Pat the Cope Gallagher, Breen O'Donnell, whoever, come into the council chambers so that you can have more of a direct influence on matters like the likes of St. Joseph's? I mean, do you think that would be a decent move?
Absolutely. Well, I would absolutely be in favour of the local TDs and senators coming to meet with the council on a regular basis. It's something that we in Donegal ETB have a meeting each year with the Oireachtas members, which I think is a very, very worthwhile exercise, because it gives us as an ETB the chance to put forward all the local issues that we have to the TDs, and they're directly answerable to us then as an ETB board. I think, you know, TDs coming to meet with the local authority would absolutely be a good idea. I mean, but I suppose we're coming from, it's not so long ago that we had the dual mandate where we had TDs actually sitting in the Donegal County Council chamber. And it's a good thing that we've moved away from that. But there probably is a wee bit of a disconnect between some of the councillors and the Oireachtas members. But, you know, for those of us who are on a party with Oireachtas members, you know, we would obviously, we're in direct contact with our TDs on a every couple of days or weekly.
On a hospital issue more generally or more directly, do you think the council has done enough to support the endeavours of the community?
Well, for a start, I would have to say that the local representatives, the councillors that are representing the Stranraer Municipal District, have been very, very strong and vocal on this issue. And as a collective, all six of us who are there over the last 5 years, and I've no doubt that the six, whoever they will be after next Friday, will take the same viewpoint on it as well. We have raised this at every single level that we could. I've had motions in front of Donegal County Council, as have the other members. We have members who sit on the HSE forum who have raised it continuously as well. We've raised it in the Oireachtas. We've got it raised, and that's through us as councillors being in touch with the local TDs and the Shannadory. We've got it raised at committee level, on the floor of Leinster House. Everywhere we have managed to raise awareness of this issue, we've done it. Mm. And it's only through elected reps working with the community. And I have to pay tribute to the Friends of Lifford Hospital and the Save Our St Joseph's Committee, which we're members of as well, and the previous guys, Save Our Services, and there were issues there, but all of those groups working together have managed, and it's people power that has got us this far, because that hospital was set for closure in 2016, and it's boots on the streets and elected reps and community reps working together that's forced the government to change their mind on that. Now, we still have work to do on Lifford, obviously, Greg. Yeah. Just wanted to make that point as well.
Yeah, well, do you think it's unfortunate, Councillor Patrick McGowan, that sort of, you know, the Lifford campaign and the St Joseph's campaign decoupled? I mean, what's going on there? I mean, surely the more united people are and a rising tide lifting all boats, the better.
Yeah, well, look, but there's also, we have three different hospitals. We have three completely different issues. The one common issue we have in Bolton and Melton, but it's for every hospital in Donegal. When this campaign started out back in 2016, when Kathleen Lynch said that she was going to close St Joseph's, Lifford and Melton, and that is the same position today, there's been no change whatsoever. We've got nothing but promises. We've had no funding secured. We have no plans. We have nothing. We're getting no information. There's been over 40 or 50 meetings of St Joseph's Hospital Committee, and I've attended nearly every single one of them. But I can tell you this. At the start, there was an SOS where all three hospitals come together, but at that stage, St Joseph's never had a committee. So you had Lifford had a committee there that had been in existence for maybe 10 or 12 years, very active.
So you understand the sort of decoupling.
Yeah, and Remelton had a committee. I don't hear much. They're not maybe very active. We don't hear them much in High Rail, but I'm sure the concerns is there. And what we needed to do, we needed to pan down the issues surrounding St Joseph's and their hinterland. And let's face it, at the very start, we were told that even when the promises come out, the ministers told us it's most likely Lifford would close and they would come on. They'd come on with a different solution. What's the committee in Lifford seemed to be accepting? And they certainly were talking that way about 2 months ago when we met them. Stranraer is completely different. Stranraer needs an extension of at least 20 bedrooms. Okay. We need to have it future-proofed. And we're not going to get caught up with a whole lot of other side arguments. It's very simple. They're either going to keep St Joseph's open by investing, by building single and double bedroom rooms. The minister told us in November that he would, but he promised us he would give us the reports in writing within weeks in front of all of our TDs, Pierce Doherty,
Pat
the Cope, Thomas Pringle, in front of all of them, he has given us nothing since. Mm. The minister has come in here, and you know, I've said he has lied, but you know, to me, the definition of lied is not to tell the truth. You know, only many times is he going to get away with it.
John Hartnett, do you want to come in there finally on that?
Yeah. All of what's being said around the table is absolutely true, but it's incredibly frustrating, and it destroys hope, because what's been given to Donegal is promises, but none of the promises that have been given have been realised. And on the what I'd call national media, what's being talked about is centres of excellence. So the possibility of more being done as regards developing Letterkenny Hospital, but not anything being done other than to run down the other hospitals.
Yeah, but I mean, that was the plan, wasn't it? To centralise beds to Letterkenny, really. I mean, that's scary.
Type of a factory for older people.
Yeah, but that was the plan. You know, I mean, it was a community movement.
Lock them up in a 120-bed factory in Letterkenny. The most important thing, but these elderly people are not dead. They're not, you know, they need communication.
The important thing to remember is that the plan was to close these community hospitals and move these patients, the long-term residential patients, from their own communities into a centralised community hospital in Letterkenny. many of us have stated that we've no problem in principle with the idea of a new community hospital in Letterkenny. That's absolutely fine. But repeated studies have shown, and health professionals have told us, that the best place for a person to be cared for primarily is in their own home. But the second best place for them to be cared for is in their own community. Okay. And these people, and there are Eileen Gallagher and lots of people who have long-term patients, relatives in St. Joseph's and Lifford and in Needham Melton, they will tell you that if there was any threat of closure to that hospital, that those patients would suffer immeasurably, and it just cannot be
important that Eileen simply couldn't visit her son on a daily basis in Letterkenny. It's as simple as that.
And to carry on from Gary, we're told the best place to keep people is at home. There's at least a 7 months waiting list from the HSE, even to get grants, where a person wants to get a chairlift, to get a bath in their house, or put on a shower instead of the bath. We're waiting on 7 months at least. Plus the whole thing, home helpers. There are people out there now. I spoke to a woman, a family at Christmas. The mother was on palliative care, and the nurse was coming on giving morphine injections. She had no, she couldn't get home help. And I had to get Petticoat Gellar to come on, and within 2 days they get it. So there's something seriously wrong with
the HSE.
That
goes to the top, though. And the boss of the HSE, Simon Harris. Simon Harris is a member of Fine Gael, and I'm sorry to come up with the obvious... I'm sorry to come up with the obvious one, but it's your party that is facilitating this government. You're to some extent, and I mean this with absolute respect, and you could argue that... Sinn Féin are talking from the ditch, but we'll not get into that and we'll give the boys an opportunity to come back on that. But you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. You're saying how terrible things are, how the HSE is failing us, how it's absolutely terrible. HSE, home help hours, carers and all that kind of stuff. Yet at the very, very same time, your party is facilitating the people who you feel are responsible for this. How do people square that circle when they're looking to put an X in somewhere?
Look, and this comes up on every show. You mentioned that twice a day. I have never heard Highland Radio or anybody else crediting Fianna Fáil. So there's no credit at all. I haven't heard anything yesterday or the day before. So there's no credit for what Fianna Fáil done. What Fianna Fáil is doing at the country at the moment...
You can blame your party colleagues, by the way, because I haven't said to any of them, don't be praising your own party.
I'll speak for myself. I'll speak for myself. I'm very proud to speak for Fianna Fáil on this one. Most Fianna Fáil members, the vast majority at the moment...
Let me finish the point here.
Most Fianna Fáil supporters, they would love to get out of the situation at the moment.
Including yourself.
Of course, I have said it on this radio station, I've said it everywhere. Of course, it's not what political parties do. Mm. Political parties oppose one another. That's the nature of them. But what we had a position a couple of years ago, we don't want to have what's going on in Northern Ireland and England and parts of Europe. There's total dismay. The whole politics has fallen apart. So Fianna Fáil have taken a very brave step to underpin this government on certain issues. But the point is, so there's no advantage in that. There's no credit because I haven't heard any credit coming out for it.
Do you think I'm anti Fianna Fáil?
No, I never said that.
No, I'm just saying.
I would say you're more pro-independent than anything else, but I'm not saying it, and we can discuss that later.
Okay. All right, no, but it's just because I wouldn't want that to come across, because I try and represent the views of those that come in. Councillor Gary Doherty, Patrick McGowan made sort of a comment there, and I think it was probably pointed in your direction that they're Fianna Fáil are doing the right thing for this country, and they pointed to what's happening in Northern Ireland, which presumably he means the stalemate between yourselves, Sinn Féin, and the DUP. So if you can't get it together in the north, and even though it's at council level, it feeds into the national scene. So why should people give Sinn Féin a vote? Because it's easy to sort of criticise in opposition, but when you have an opportunity for power, that opportunity is not taken.
Well, for a start, Sinn Féin and the North are ready to go back into Stormont. We've been ready for the last year. We were ready to walk back into Stormont a year ago, and the DUP reneged on their deal once they went back to their base and they found out that what was agreed in the deal wasn't acceptable to the Orange Order and to other organisations, shall we say, that put forward opposing viewpoints to what the DUP had agreed with us. So Sinn Féin and the North are ready to go back into government, and I totally reject any accusation that we're not ready to go back into the Stormont executive. We've been working, and the main point I'm supposed to make on that as well is that an erosion of rights in the North is what's is what the agreement is about, and what we're trying to get an agreement on. There's a lack of rights for people who speak the Irish language. There's marriage equality deficit in the north compared to the rest of the island. And look, it's just something that we're not prepared to go into. To go back and
that supersedes the rights of people to have properly funded schools, to have road infrastructure development, to have properly funded services.
Well, again, I would reject that.
Everyone has rights.
That as well, because look, the majority.
So you don't think there's a funding issue in Northern Irish schools because of a lack of power sharing?
The funding issues in schools in the north are coming because the budgets are coming from Westminster.
Yeah, exactly.
And again,
we're not making decisions in Belfast.
It's Westminster where. It's a Tory government in power in Westminster who are making budget decisions that are right-wing Tory budgets, and that money is not filtering through down to the north the way it should be. I absolutely agree with that, and that's something that we're fighting to change. But to bring it back to the original question,
yes.
So first of all, I would reject that we're not ready to go back into the executive instalment. But on a local government level here in Donegal County Council, for the last 5 years, we have had a power-sharing council.
Yeah.
We were never in that position in Donegal County Council before, because before this we always had a two-party hegemony, I would call it, where we always had either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael were in control of the council. We have had a very harmonious council over the last 5 years where all parties and independents have come together to agree on budgets, policies, for the good of the whole people of Donegal, regardless of party affiliation or, you know, anything else, okay. Creed or colour, whatever.
Right.
So I'm very, very proud of the record that we have and administering power at a local level. And that's, as county councillors, that's all I can answer to.
Okay, listen, thanks very much for that. And I mean, obviously, these conversations end up being broadened out. But Liam Doherty, you know, we're going to get to issues of, say, for instance, we were talking today of problems with water in St Johnston, for example. Yeah. I mean, everyone canvasses in their own areas, but I would not like to go up that road and canvass for a vote from anyone that has dark brown orange water for the last 10 years. The Ritz Cinema is falling to bits on the main street of the Twin Towns, and the roads around the Finn Valley area, the electoral area, generally speaking, seem disproportionately in bad repair to the rest of the county. So are Finn Valley councillors, are Lifford Stranooler councillors actually pulling their weight in addressing these day-to-day issues, on the ground issues for the people, do you think, Liam?
Yeah, well, I think we are. We're doing the best we can of what money we get from central government. I have no problem, and I'm sure none of the rest of them has any problem, canvassing areas. That's what we're there for. That's what we go out to do. That's what we go out to canvass, to talk to the people, to get their issues. We had the same type of issues between Conwy and Rafoe. Over the last 5 years of work, they've got a new water main on there. They've done away with the discolouring of the water in that area. St Johnston, we lobbied for a new wastewater treatment plant down there, which happened, which has taken away some of the issues down there. Same convoy, new wastewater treatment, are taking away a lot of these wastewater issues.
But the problem we see with new wastewater treatment plants is that the old crappy pipes can't take it seems they can't take the increased pressure or whatever it might be, and they're flushing the rust and the debris out through the pipes. So surely the pipe replacement work and the new treatment placement work should be going hand in hand?
Is that the new wastewater treatment plant?
Oh, wherever it happens, you see it coming up from time to time. Sometimes the new facilities make problems worse because the pipe infrastructure's not changed at the same time.
Yeah, well, the wastewater treatment plants...
Wastewater, actually, sorry. Yeah. Okay. I beg your pardon.
The new wastewater treatment plants in Conwy St Johnston, a lot of the pipe work has been replaced, coming from local housing estates where there was major issues with wastewater. They've done away now with some of the small treatment plants that was on the estates, and this has helped all that. The mains water supply, as I say, slowly but surely, over the last 5 years, they have replaced a lot of the pipework in the Fun Valley area.
Gary Doherty, you wanted to come in there. I mean, does anyone have anything firm as it relates to when people in St Johnston will not have to, as they have for the last decade, to endure this unusable water? God knows how much it's costing in showers and washing machines and all manner of things.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous, the situation down in the Kinnekelly area and that wider area of St Johnston. And this, the same situation has been replicated, and I've been on your show regarding Tober and areas in Lifford and up the Castlefin Road. This has been going on all over our MD But the important message that I've been trying to get out, and I tried to put it out in social media a few times over the last number of weeks, is that all of the residents in these areas that are affected need to be calling Irish Water.
Now, when they do, they're given a case number.
But the point is, I've been talking to officials in Irish Water over the last number of days, both on the record and off the record, and they've told me that there needs to be a rota system set up by the residents in order to get these complaints lodged. Because, for example, this morning...
To hassle them effectively.
Yeah, to hassle them, because that's the way that they can then put a funding application to Irish Water, and they can give an evidence-based application to say, look, here's the evidence of all the bursts and all the problems that we're having in the Kinnecalley area, for example, or in the Tober area. So, for example, this morning, if we got 12 residents to ring Irish Water this morning, Irish Water would log that those 12 calls as one issue. So then when this issue is resolved today, they would then say, the issue's resolved. There needs to be...
Yeah, but there's logic to it. There's logic to it, but it's hard to believe, John. And we'll come back to you on it, because we'll be going around. But it's hard to believe, John, that we sort of have to pull the wool over Irish Water's eyes and not all ring at the one time and ring... No, I'm not saying it's your suggestion, this, but it's proven to work, Gary. I'm not saying this is your proposal, but it seems to be that to get a message through to Irish Water, that we have to ring up in an organised fashion to represent the fact that this is an ongoing problem over a long period of time. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy.
Not from Gary, but that's just the way it is.
But even as you listen to Gary, you can hear the determination in his voice and the fact that he is connected with his people and that he works, what I'd call, on the ground with real issues. And that's, for me, let's say, sitting here, I'm really, really inspired listening to each of the people.
Can you deliver you're giving Patrick, Liam and Gary a lot of praise, but theoretically you could be taking one of their seats. Do you believe that you could do as effective a job on the ground in the manner which you've praised them yourself?
Yes, I could, but only in the sense that these are people who are good with working with people and good at being patient to be on that phone and organise other people to do the same. I've got, let's say, lots of experience of that because 40 years in education, I began as a teacher, but, you know, within 10, 20 years, you're working with other people to help them improve their performance, their productivity, their even just stuff like how to get on with people. So it's bread and butter issues.
Okay.
But the bread and butter issues, what perhaps the listener might realise is that if you talk in terms of pro-life, it's not about the unborn only, it's everybody. From the people who are looking for a place in St. Joseph's Hospital, the people who need a wheelchair lift. And as Pat says,
so it's an ideology, effectively. You're saying if you care for all, including the unborn, then you'll care for society generally.
That's right. And so I'm lucky. I've been blessed with a kind of Irish determination in terms of hard work. I love to work. I feel unhappy if I'm not working. Mm. Often my wife would even have to say to me, John, we'll just relax.
Mm, okay.
So that's, you know, in that sense, I'm sure the council is doing great. My concern is that the bus is being driven in the wrong direction. The workers on the bus, they're all doing great. But where's that bus going? Mm. For example, you were very, very courteous and very polite to kind of advise me away from being a one-issue person. The problem is, and that's why Padra had to leave Sinn Féin, that the abortion issue is actually life and death. It's not a matter of a single issue. It's literally the whole package is all there. And so if you support and give hope to youngsters who have got a crisis in pregnancy and look to help each other, what can we do to help? As opposed to basically giving them a sense of, well, look, there's a solution.
But our record on helping people in crisis pregnancies is nothing to rest our laurels on.
Not at all. Not at all.
Councillor Patrick McGowan, just to back, and I'm trying to not continuously steer John in different directions, by the way, but on the water, I want to give you a fair crack at the water. You know, I think, and Gary's going to have an opportunity to come back on it, but I think if I was listening on that area, I would be saying, this is equivalent to Irish Water telling us to run our taps and the water will run clear. You know, it's advice, but is it help? And as I say, we'll come back to you on Gary on that one. But I mean, can councillors not do more, and perhaps they are doing more, than just give sound advice?
Yeah, the two biggest issues, I'm getting on the doors, and I have probably comes to this stage three quarters of my area, door to door. I'm at it now about 5 weeks. It's broadband and water. Now, obviously, the roads issues and that are coming up all the time as well, but it's unbelievable. Even in areas like Clahan, Fintown, Castlefin, Conway, in and around them area. Now, we have a lot of work going on. The two lads here know that.
Focus on the water and then we'll do broadband after the break.
But it's, I know I'm saying there is a lot of work ongoing, pipe replacement, Conway, reform.
But how could these people in St. John's be waiting 10 years being told by council biologists or whomever tests water that it's okay to drink? Have you seen it? It's disgusting.
I heard the interview this morning with yourself there, that lady and gentleman on, and you know, I've Googled it many times in the past because there is a lot of concern about the particles that's in the water. They tell you run it off, but then if you research it further, what happens then if it doesn't run clear? But it's not that. If you do run it off and you start drinking it, then you're not clear. The particles then, they tell you it's not doing you harm, but actually if you look it up, it is doing you harm. From anybody, you should not drink dirty water, full stop. Okay. There's no question about it. So like in that situation, you know, and Gary's right there, you know, the more people rings in and you ring your councillors, you ring everybody in your desperation, you have to do it. But you know, they do need to be fast tracking water, and my understanding is they've stopped connecting new areas, they've stopped connecting houses within towns to sewage, and that the resources going on to trying to improve the water mains. That is the only way we think it's going to replace
the pipes. Do you get my point that, you know, that you would think that voting for your local councillor is really, that's the person that could be making representatives and making a difference on issues like, you know, decade-long water, rubbish water?
Well, as I said there, when you asked me the question for we haven't made a difference in a lot of the areas. St. Johnson still needs upgraded. But the likes of Convoy there, between Convoy and Foe, that new up, they were in the same boat. They were getting the water through the old cast, the old pipes, the old rusted pipes, destroying clothes in their washing machines, destroying washing machines, destroying kettles, everything. But that has been sorted over the last 5 years. St. Johnson is another case, needs to be sorted. We need to, as elected reps, work together and push to get that done. And if it's, as I say, it's okay us as councillors ringing Irish Water complaining, but we do need help from the public as well. If your water's dirty, ring Irish Water.
And in fairness, a lot of this power was taken from the council and given to this entity. Sorry. Now, finally, on this one, Gary, from you, please.
There's two points on it, I suppose, Greg. Firstly, I'll hold my hands up and say that I had originally thought residents in the area would have contacted me about if the water was dirty or the water was off. I would have then contacted Irish Water on their behalf and reported it, thinking that I was doing the right thing. I've then been told by officials in Irish Water, no, don't do that. You can make your reps all right, but there needs to be a coordinated campaign from residents in all of these areas so that there's not 12 people ringing today and then nobody ringing tomorrow. It needs to be, there needs to be like a rota of residents who are calling in so that we build the evidence base to then put in the funding application. The second thing is just when you're talking about representation around, you know, what we as local councillors can do. 5 years ago when we were facing into the last local election, we had severe sewage problems in Lifford, St. Johnson, Castlefin and unfinished estates. We have worked honestly, tirelessly, all six of us, over the last number of years to try and get those problems resolved. They're not all resolved, but we don't now have raw sewage running out on the streets where children are playing in the same way that we did 5 years ago. And that's down to the work that we've been doing along with the residents associations.
I don't know which estate this is or which Councillor Doherty is, but maybe you'll understand. Can you ask Councillor Doherty, when is someone going to come into the estate and clean up the mess that was left when the waste treatment plant was connected? Do any of you know what that one is in relation to? Maybe that person will call back and give us more information. Okay. We'll be back with more after the break. OK, you're welcome back. We'll start with Councillor Liam Doherty. The other big issue, I suppose, is broadband. And the roads are an issue too, but we'll focus on broadband for now because that's in the news right at the moment. Liam, we're in a bit of a difficult position in that if you don't have broadband and you see all the money being pumped into Dublin for metros and Lewis's and all that kind of stuff, you know, you say, well, for once, whatever, $3 billion I'll get broadband then, so what? But I presume that might be what you're hearing, but your party doesn't want this scheme at all. They want the ESB to provide it, and we're being told that could set the whole process back by years. But so what's your view on the provision of broadband and the proposed deal?
Well, the proposed deal there, where they're talking about the $3 billion and stuff, I do think the money needs to be spent, but it needs to be spent wisely. And I agree with our party on it. It should be rolled out by the ESB. The networks is there. It's not a private company. I feel that, and it shouldn't take. I don't know why there was consult. There was $14 million spent there on consultants, and as you said yourself this morning, what came out of that was give it to one company and privatise it. That'd go like that. Was the ESB, was it looked at? Was it something that the consultants did check out? Don't know. I feel that it shouldn't be privatised. The amount of reps that's been made to us through local people there.
But you have to tell a person who's being told that they will have broadband within the next couple of years that you want to sort of go back to the start of the process. And you could say, look, we want to do it quickly, but you would be sort of going back to the start of the process and having to work how the ESB would do it. So you'd be telling the person voting for you that your party's in favour of delaying this even further.
I don't believe it. I honestly don't believe that it would be delayed that long. I think they're trying to push you away from it. They're telling you it will be delayed that long, so they'll go with this $3 billion too.
So it's a PR.
I have a feeling that's what it is, because believe. I've heard ESB talking about that 3, 4, 5 years ago. ESB workers that was out there doing work with ESB saying, well, this is, you know, they're thinking about this, they're planning the possibility for this. I don't believe that it should, it would put it back any further.
Councillor McGowan, I mean, what's your view? I mean, as I say, you know, we've seen billions and billions pumped into our capitals. Is $3 billion too much for broadband in rural Ireland?
Not at all, but if it were delivered within a reasonable time frame, but we're talking over 10 years here. The Fianna Fáil spokesperson was out earlier this week, last week, saying the exact same thing. But, you know, the ESB are already providing broadband. We have the MABs that goes through Letterkenny, goes through Balbuffet, our building there in Balbuffet, in Stranraer, the base. That's how we get our broadband at the moment. Very expensive. Funded by the government, run all over the country through the ESB lines, and it's actually sitting there with their comm system. We have a whole load of systems.
So are you for or against the broadband plan in its current form? Should the contract be signed, spend the money, let's get the broadband?
No, I'm worried because I don't think it's going to deliver. There's a total lack in trust. Everything the government touches now, from the children's hospitals, all the normal stuff, everything is going wrong. It seems to be rushed. It's a wee bit like the last time we brought in Irish water, property tax, everything. It was to get Phil Hogan into Europe. You know, it's all this. This government is about to come down. They're going to a whole lot of announcements before council elections and general elections, and nobody has any trust. Like the head of the Department of Finance.
Do you think the government's trying to buy the election? You've got 50 yes. million for farmers, yeah. for the rural farmers today. Yeah. You've got 20 million for mica houses. You've got 3 billion for rural broadband. Do you believe that any of this is disingenuous, or do you believe that this is auction politics?
The head of the Department of Finance said exactly that. He said he couldn't say any more. It could be a sackable matter last week. This is serious stuff. This government has just lost the run themselves. And it's such an urgent issue because as the government themselves says, this is like the rural water rollout or the rural electrification many years ago. We need broadband. Children need it. Businesses need it. It is deliverable, but they need to cop on.
John Hartnett.
This could be tackled in Europe as well.
What say you and Ayn to? Do you know your party? Of course you know. What is your party's stance on the rural broadband scheme?
The stance is, much as the lads are saying here, that it needs to be done, it needs to be rolled out. But just as even the lads are saying about their own parties, there's a lack of trust. There are promises that are being made because this is an election in 2 weeks. So anything, is the word is out basically, whatever they want, tell them, we will provide it. So my big concern is we need a new party up and running because we can't trust.
Is yours a new party or is it Sinn Féin Light?
Oh, no, it's absolutely a new party. In fact, Pader had to be very, very clear in terms of his departure from Sinn Féin because he does see it literally as a matter of life and death.
Okay.
Right across the board, not just about
And that brings you back to the central sort of the tone of your contributions today, and it's not a criticism. It is about very fundamentally to you that the right to life sort of really most of your opinions sprout from that. You can sort of, it's, is that a fair enough assessment?
If you're 40, like me, 40 years in education, you can see that our young people are the future. They need hope, they need support, they need help. And all they're getting is misdirection.
Okay, Gary Doherty on the broadband issue, as I say, you know, if you don't have broadband, you know, I don't know if I'd want anyone knocking on my door wanting to delay it any further, to be honest with you.
No, well, look, the problem with broadband, it does come up quite a lot at the doors, and I've had numerous businesses contacting me, is that the previous broadband rollout wasn't even done correctly. We with the existing situation where we've fibre broadband lines going down roads, and if you live off those roads at all, they not even take the broadband down maybe 10 yards down to your house, they'll not come off the road at all. So existing iterations or previous iterations of the broadband scheme didn't work. So there's no evidence at all that this €3 billion, if invested, would work either. There's no evidence that the bidder, the sole bidder that's left, has the capacity to carry out the programme and roll out the broadband efficiently and effectively. So, look, to me, there's serious questions to be answered about it. I don't think we can just walk blindly into a €3 billion contract with one contractor. I mean, I'm involved with town and village renewal schemes at the minute. And even for the smaller contracts, you're looking at least five tenders or five quotes before you'd make a decision. Never mind for €3 billion. I think it's ridiculous.
Maybe Garvin Connolly, as a Fine Gael government candidate, might have had something to say on this, but unfortunately wasn't able to be here. So this is not government bashing. It's just the way things. I don't think there was any bashing going on there anyway. No, but be that as it may, May 24th, get out and have your vote. You may choose to vote for Councillor Gary Doherty, Councillor Liam Doherty, prospective Councillor Garvin Connolly, Ainthu's John Hartnett, or Councillor Patrick McGowan. You might choose to vote for those or the six other candidates. But we wish you all the very, very best of luck.